Hey, everybody, it's the Charlie Kirk Show. Heather McDonald joins the program. An amazing conversation when race trumps merit. Really terrific about all the race stuff happening in the country. It's very, very powerful. And then also Dave Williams, GOP chair of Colorado, talking about the legal fight to take Trump off the ballot. And is it time for us to kick Biden off the ballot in red states? I want to hear from you, freedom@charliekirk.com. Do you agree? Should we retaliate in that way? Email me, freedom@charliekirk.com. Make sure you're subscribed and get your friends to do the same. And if you want to support this program and become an insider, a supporter, go to charliekirk.com and click on the members tab. That's charliekirk.com and click on the members tab. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Noble Gold Investments is the official gold sponsor of the Charlie Kirk Show, a company that specializes in gold IRAs and physical delivery of precious metals. Learn how you could protect your wealth with Noble Gold Investments at NobleGoldInvestments.com. That is NobleGoldInvestments.com. It's where I buy all of my gold. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com. One of the biggest stories is allegedly they're going to keep Donald Trump off the ballot in Colorado until the Supreme Court intervenes. Well, joining us now is Dave Williams, GOP chair of Colorado. You guys can check out cologop.org to support the fight. Dave, welcome to the program. Give us the latest from Colorado.
You bet. We appealed the decision from the Colorado Supreme Court, the United States Supreme Court, and we're waiting for them to grant a cert. We anticipate that they will and that we'll have oral arguments sometime this month. I think they're waiting on Donald Trump and his team to file their appeal, and that way they'll consolidate the case. But we expect to hear something very soon and make our appeal to them in person very soon.
Okay, so kind of give us some more background. What is the challenge for Colorado blocking Trump from the ballot and just kind of all the different ramifications here?
You bet. I think ultimately the challenge here is that other states will follow suit. They're going to take the ruling from the Colorado Supreme Court and use that as justification to knock Donald Trump off the ballot in other states. You saw this already in Maine, and I think you're about to see more of that if the United States Supreme Court doesn't step in and stop this. This is an attack on our very foundation of our republic here. If we don't have free and fair elections, then we're certainly not going to be able to have the people decide and hold power for themselves on how we're going to govern ourselves. The stakes are incredibly high, and if we don't step in and stop this now, we're going to lose our country.
Is this popular amongst even independents in Colorado, disenfranchising voters and keeping selections off the ballot?
No, not at all. In fact, I think it's backfiring. So the left who's funding this is funded by George Soros Group, and they're doing everything they can to eliminate Donald Trump from the competition. I think what they are going to find out is it's going to punish Democrats once this is slapped down. At least we think it's going to be slapped down by the United States Supreme Court. But there are Republicans, independents, Democrats that just don't like the fact that unelected judges are somehow telling them who they can vote for. That's un-American, and I ultimately think that Donald Trump is going to win this case, but also be rewarded politically because it's just beyond the pale.
So talk, you know, one of the more disappointing stories of the last couple of decades is how Colorado went from a ruby red state to a deep blue state. Talk about the blueprint, how changing of election laws, mass mail-in voting, how that all played a role into changing Colorado into now a difficult state for conservatives.
Yeah, this is something that your viewers should be concerned about all across the country. The blueprint was a way for wealthy, dark money groups and interests to essentially purchase a state. They did it incrementally, and it was done over a span of 20 plus years, but ultimately it involves putting a lot of money behind a lot of dark groups who then go buy elections through false advertising and corrupt marketing practices. And once they get into power, they change the rules to allow for mail-in voting, universal mail-in voting, or automatic voter registration, for instance. and they further solidified their power through those mechanisms, and they keep repeating it until they reach critical mass. It's not over for Colorado yet, but we're definitely in a bind, and every other state party, every other Republican operation in any other state should take notice and do whatever they can to prevent that from happening like it happened here.
Yeah, and so the kind of blueprint or the model they're using is now going to try in Arizona. They're trying it in Washington. So, and there is a split, I'm sure, amongst Republicans of how to handle this. And eventually you get, you know, extraordinarily outnumbered, and they institutionally take over almost every single measure of the infrastructure of Colorado. So talk about the fight within the Republican Party as well. Are there Republicans who are supportive of Trump not being on the ballot, or they think we should be more moderate? Kind of walk us through that.
Yeah, you bet. They're in the minority. Thanks to, you know, a lot of wonderful America First patriots implementing the precinct strategy, we've taken over the party apparatus. We're instituting meaningful reforms that are actually going to put us in a position to make some gains. One of the reasons why the blueprint was successful is because the traditional failed, feckless leaders of the past, the strategists who just want to compromise and give up on the fight, are no longer involved, or at least their power has been diminished. We can win if we put forward a bold contrast and start, you know, throwing punches at Democrats. We have to go on offense. If we're going to win, we have to be able to make the case and not be afraid of what the press or the pundits or the corrupt power brokers are trying to sell us. We do that, we're going to win. And so we've taken over the party, and a lot of these people are either leaving the state or leaving politics in Colorado generally and trying to grift in some other place. So beware, if some consultants go into your state, make sure you do your history and see if they're true patriots.
Yeah, absolutely. And so if Donald Trump is not going to be able to go on the ballot, are you guys pursuing a potential caucus system?
Absolutely. If the Supreme Court doesn't overturn this, I think it's going to create, you know, chaos nationally. But all we can do is what we can do in Colorado. What we're prepared to do is pivot away from a presidential primary that would be rigged, in our opinion, to a pure caucus system where Donald Trump and anyone else can compete fairly. And more importantly, our voters can choose the candidates they think is best to represent us. And our state assembly, our convention is going to take place on April 6th, and we need all the help we can get in order to implement that should it happen. If worst case scenario, if they don't allow them on the ballot, we have to switch to a caucus, and that's going to take time, energy, and money that, frankly, we don't have. So please, viewers, please visit our website at cologop.org and help us fund this fight, not only in the court, but outside the court as well.
Very good. Well, Dave Williams, keep up the fight in Colorado. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Charlie.
One of the stories that broke in the last couple of weeks, it's not just Colorado, it's Maine as well. And it's in Colorado, in some ways, it was not better, but it was a little bit easier to stomach because there was a vote. It was 4-3. In Maine, it's just one person. The Secretary of State unilaterally is deciding not to allow Donald Trump on the ballot. And what's been just not surprising, but something to witness, is the regime media, the people that praise our democracy, our democracy, our democracy, our democracy, are perfectly fine with a single person, a Secretary of State, saying, nah, I don't think they should be on the ballot. I just don't think they should be on the ballot. Why? Because I have my duty to the 14th Amendment. Has the person been indicted for insurrection, or let alone convicted of insurrection? No, just based on my opinion, the person committed insurrection. And this is where this is headed. And I don't like this, but here's where we need to start exploring this. The only thing they understand is force. Why is there no effort to take Biden off the ballot in Texas and Florida? I don't like going that way. It feels really tit for tat, but you got to fight fire with fire. You got to punch back twice as hard. I've been patient for a couple weeks. I'm waiting for the Supreme Court. Hopefully the Supreme Court can come in and calm this down. I don't want to live in a country where red states take off Democrat candidates and blue states take off Republican candidates. But if you're going to take off Donald Trump for allegedly insurrection, Joe Biden is allowing an insurrection to occur on the southern border every single day. Every single day, they're allowing an insurrection to occur. And we're supposed to just take it that a former president is not allowed on a southern border? So there's got to be some sort of warning shot. What Republican Secretary of State around the country is going to say, I don't think Joe Biden should be allowed on the ballot, and go do the press circus. Say, you know, Joe Biden is a traitor to the United States. Why? Because I think he is. What evidence do you have? Look at the border. He's a traitor. Make the news media cover that. They'll say, oh, Republican Secretary of State. I thought it's okay. I thought it's okay for Secretary of States to remove candidates. We're going to explore this. I don't celebrate it. I don't rejoice in it. I don't like it. I want elections to solve who should have power. But appeasement isn't working. Us sitting by and hoping things get better, and he's off the ballot in Colorado, off the ballot in Maine. Hey, who's the Secretary of State of Wyoming? Who's the Secretary of State of South Dakota? Just come out and say, Biden's not allowed on the ballot. How will they react? Fight fire with fire. Hey, everybody. Charlie Kirk here. With each year that passes, the term health goals takes on more and more importance for me. In my younger days, feeling great and feeling healthy was something I took for granted. Now it's become an active goal in my life. This means I do specific things to help me get there. And one of those things I do every day is take Balance of Nature's fruits and veggie supplements. Why did I choose Balance of Nature? So many reasons, but probably one of the most important to me is that they're always made from whole food ingredients. Have you started getting more serious about your health goals like I have? I strongly urge you to check out Balance of Nature. Whether you order online or you call them direct, you must use promo code CHARLIE to get this special offer of 35% off. Call them at 800-2468-751 and use discount code CHARLIE, or order online at balanceofnature.com. Use discount code CHARLIE to get 35% off. That is balanceofnature.com, discount code CHARLIE to get 35% off. Is it time to kick Joe Biden off the ballot? Look, I'm not thrilled with it. I'm not thrilled with this idea that we have to use political power, but this is where they're going. And what are we going to be, chumps on the sideline? We're just going to kind of watch and look and hope that things get better. Well, Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick in Texas is saying it's time to take Joe Biden off the ballot in Texas. And again, I don't think we should rejoice in this. I don't think we should say that this is the good thing. But it might be necessary to get their attention. Make them defend it. Make them defend this concept. It's mutually assured destruction. If the 2024 election isn't allowed to be a fair vote between Biden and Trump, then it will be a fatal blow to the American system. And we have to send that message. We have to send the message that if you're going to take Donald Trump off the ballot in Colorado and Maine, then we'll take Joe Biden off the ballot in Mississippi and in Alabama and in South Carolina and in Tennessee and in Kentucky and in Kansas. You have to send that message. If you do not have mutually assured destruction, then they control everything. They have all the chips and all the cards. By the way, we want a fair fight. You know what's so interesting is we want the fair fight. They don't. We want everybody on the ballot. We want votes to be counted ethically. We don't want a month. Here's how you know you're on the right side of history. What side wants the fair fight? And what side is arguing for the unfair fight? They're arguing for like taking him off the ballot and insurrection and putting him in jail. At some point, you're going to reach a breaking point. And we're awfully close to that. By the way, they don't want a fair fight because they know they lose in a fair fight. Because deep down, they know that they are vessels of destruction. They know that they have nothing to run on. What, are you going to run on the border? You're going to run on the economy? The dollar being destroyed? You're going to run on inflation? You're going to run on transing our kids? Grooming 9-year-olds? What are you going to run on? They know that in a presidential year where there's insanely high turnout and issues are actually openly debated with Twitter, make no mistake, I don't know if they'd be doing this if Twitter was still captured. I have a whole theory on this. The fact that Twitter is liberated bothers them. There is a messenger system to challenge the power structure. There's an ability for them to have their BS called out. They don't like that. Their ideas cause national suicide. And we'll take a fair fight any day. But if you refuse to make it fair, then game on. By the way, then all of a sudden it's fair again. Us taking Joe Biden off the ballot is not something we should celebrate. But game on, baby. I think it's time for us to roll up our sleeves. I want to see a Secretary of State in the next couple of days just put out the press release. Joe Biden's not going to be on the primary ballot. He's not going to be on the general election ballot. Make the Supreme Court rule on the constitutionality of both Trump and Biden on the 2024 election. Shot across the bow. Power dynamics. Fight power with power. This is not something that, by the way, this shows you everything. They call us fascists. They call us all this. We want elections. We want representative government. We want decentralized power. We don't want one size fits all. They know what they're doing. And Tucker said it best. There is not a shred of evidence that the people in charge are acting as stewards of the American project. There's not any evidence that they're trying to pass this thing down. They want complete obliteration of this. Complete. So happy talk is over. Patty cake. Like Speaker Johnson, he's doing patty cake today. It drives me crazy. Enough. Waste the time. Go run a Bible study. We need hardball. It's time for us to buckle up and get in the arena. So as soon, I mean, this, you got this librarian-looking loser in Maine. Oh, well, it's good for democracy. Okay, I'm not even going to tolerate that. You're a waste of time. You're a liar. You're an arsonist to the country. You're a bad person. And instead of debating you, which is obviously a waste of time, I prefer to have debate. We're going to use power. How are you going to respond to that, Rachel Maddow? I want to see Rachel Maddow's face, you know, in her lesbian black suit. Oh, in a threat to democracy, they're keeping Biden off the ballot. Play offense. It's the only option. It's not something we rejoice. It's not something we celebrate, but it's necessary. Power politics. Okay, Kirk fans, I need you to stop and pay attention to this. If you deal with exhaustion, brain fog, mood swings, or food cravings, if you're constantly getting sick or simply lack the zeal you used to have in life, then I have some news for you. A while back, I found a liquid supplement called Strong Cell, and it changed my health in a very profound way. I take it every single day. Look, I knew I had to partner with them. I did the research, Google, and look up online what happens when you mix NADH with CoQ10 and marine collagen. It's simple. Every area of your body has cells, so if your cells are healthier, then you will also be healthier. You don't have to take my word for it. Listen to one of these testimonials. After taking Strong Cell for 6 weeks, I found improvement in many areas, less shoulder pain, improved mental clarity, increased natural energy, and so much more. I'm thankful that Charlie Kirk recommended this to his listeners. Rebecca says, I absolutely love Strong Cell. At first, I didn't think it would make much of a difference for my chronic fatigue, depression, and anxiety, but I thought I'd give it a chance. I've tried to find depression meds for 10 years, and since I use Strong Cell, I'm feeling better than I ever have on depression medication. Customer for life, thank you, Charlie Kirk, for recommending this product. So there it is. You've heard from me directly and some of the users who have seen their lives changed by Strong Cell. I personally recommend taking it every day for at least 30 days. I take it every day before I go on the air, and it's helped me in more ways than I can even name. Each of our bodies is very different, so I would recommend you give the supplement at least 2 to 3 months to see the changes in your body. Go to strongcell.com and learn more for yourself. That's strongcell.com/Charlie. And don't forget to use discount code Charlie at checkout to get your special 20% discount for Kirk listeners. Or you can call 888-596-0155 to order over the phone. That is 888-596-0155 or visit strongcell.com/Charlie. Joining us now is Heather McDonald. She is the author of When Race Trumps Merit, How the Pursuit of Equity Sacrifices Excellence, Destroys Beauty and Threatens Lives. And boy, we are living in that culture right now. Heather, welcome back to the program. Heather, your reaction to former President Gay at Harvard. How should we think about this?
Well, it's simply extraordinary what has happened over the last several months, Charlie. Nobody would have seen this coming. The people who believe in merit, who believe in excellence, have made much further progress than I would have believed. On the other hand, I'm not going to be too over-optimistic here, because in getting rid of Gay, the Harvard Corporation has made it very clear that it intends to stay on the same course that Gay personified, which is the elevation of race over merit. and what the Harvard Corporation calls inclusivity, which is code word for your audience, Charlie. Anytime they hear inclusivity, they should simply know that what is being talked about is the evisceration of colorblind neutral standards, because you can have merit or you can have diversity or so-called inclusivity. You cannot have both. So Harvard says our core value is inclusivity. It's basically telling you we are not going to be a colorblind meritocratic institution.
Onward with inclusiveness is your new story at City Journal. You argue that it's unlikely to change anything at Harvard, though. Talk about how there is an entire, you could use the word deep state, but almost administrative state at Harvard that shares these values, and she was nothing more than just one example of potential thousands. I mean, the next president will be the same ideology, the same worldview, the same philosophy. Heather McDonald.
That's right. The amount of diversity bureaucrats at Harvard is simply stunning. I did a count last summer, and City Journal wouldn't even allow me to publish all of them because it was too tedious. It figured pages after pages, you're never going to get a reader to plow through this all. So we had to provide a very truncated list. But every single school at Harvard has a full phalanx of these left-wing bureaucrats who have no academic expertise whatsoever. Their only purpose in life is to enforce a left-wing ideology that sadly far too many professors are all too happy to conform to. And Harvard is no different from basically the rest of higher education, Charlie, as you well know. And they pump out every single year graduates who have been brainwashed into the idea that America remains profoundly systemically racist, that any neutral standard that seeks to identify excellence, if that standard results in a insufficiently Black and Hispanic selection, you know, whether it's trying to find people to work in a cancer lab at Harvard or at Yale or at UMass General Hospital, if there aren't sufficient Blacks at Google working in their nanotechnology department, the only allowable explanation, according to Harvard and the rest of higher education, and increasingly the federal government, state governments, local governments, is racism. You are not allowed to talk about the fact that there are vast academic skills gaps between Blacks on the one hand and whites and Asians on the other that make it impossible to put together a meritocratic crew of workers in high-skilled professions and have them be racially proportionate.
So, Heather, that's a really important segue as we're kind of jumping around here. This Bloomberg story came out today. I'm not sure if you saw it. It's breathtaking. So since the racial reckoning of Floydapalooza, which you were excellent on and you deserve a lot of credit, you had moral clarity throughout the entire thing. Corporate America said, okay, we pledge to hire more people of color. And it has now come out that at major U.S. companies, the S&P 100, according to Bloomberg.com, 94% of those new jobs went to people of color or non-whites. So only 6% of the new jobs of 300,000 jobs. Heather, there is no spin on this. There's so many takeaways. First, I want your immediate reaction to this shocking story that 94% of all new hires in the S&P 100 went to people of color.
We are heading towards civilizational collapse, Charlie, because we are putting mediocrity into our institutions. I am not saying that there are not highly qualified Blacks, but they are not there in the proportion as of their proportion in the population at large, which is 13%, because of these gaping academic skills. But we insist on pursuing diversity instead of excellence. We are going to tear down the caliber of our most competitive institutions, whether it's in science, but things like air traffic control, customer service. I don't know what your experience has been like, Charlie, but for me, every time I try to get through to something, I experience mistake after mistake in our corporate bureaucracies. And this is one partial explanation for this. It is racial discrimination for sure. Because given what we know about the distribution of skills, you can only arrive at those ratios by deciding that you are not going to proceed in a colorblind fashion, and you're going to ignore the most qualified candidates in favor of those whose only qualification is their skin color.
Yeah, and look, Heather, I'm really afraid to say this, but I have a couple what you could call whistleblowers in air traffic control, ATC, that work for the FAA, and they have privately confided in me, some that I know very well, that if you walked into an air traffic control tower, you would be horrified. It is staffed under affirmative action type guidelines. And I'm told, and again, this is just, I don't know this firsthand, but it is from a whistleblower type at the FAA, that there are near misses of plane crashes way more than people realize happening at major airports. Because if you think about it, air traffic control, that is a 30 to 90 second margin. You threw something up, you're dealing with people's lives. And Heather, I pray that we do not have a major plane accident or plane crash because of this. But I've heard from people that you're dealing at, you know, very, very high stakes. How, and so we put that aside, but even the more immediate, just customer service, at times you can't, here's what's upsetting to me, Heather, is if I'm dealing with somebody in customer service who's a moronic Black woman, I wonder, is she there because of her excellence, or is she there because of affirmative action? Almost creates thought patterns that are not necessarily wholesome. It creates resentment, doesn't it, Heather? This is not a way to design society.
Yeah, we have to stop being scared by the race hustle. We have to stop being scared by being called a racist and just say, sorry, the facts are these. You cannot have racial proportionality and excellence at the same time, not because necessarily there's any inherent difference. We can put that question aside for now, but just because if you look at the fact that 66% of all Black 12th graders do not possess even partial mastery of the most basic math skills defined as doing arithmetic or reading a graph, 66% of Black 12th graders don't possess even partial mastery of that. It is absurd to think that if you look at a air traffic control room, which depends on being able to do very fast calculations, being able to handle a lot of data on an instantaneous basis, if that isn't, you know, 13% Black, it's because somewhere there's discrimination going on. That is completely fallacious. It is against what is the obvious fact of the world that we live in. And yet I'm just stunned. Like, when is this going to end? So at some point it's going to end, especially when young white males say we are not going to be canceled any longer. We know the facts. We know the fact that this is a society now that has done 180 degree about face from a period where it was, in fact, white supremacy, when it was, in fact, an apartheid state, when it treated Blacks with gratuitous cruelty, heartlessness, heartbreaking, nastiness, and sadism. That was the reality, but we are not going to cop to that reality today. We have to stand up against this, Charlie, because there's no other civilization like Western civilization that is engaged in this deliberate self-immolation. No other culture has turned on itself with such fury. You don't see this happening in China. You don't see it happening in Africa. You don't see it happening in India, where those cultures are saying, oh, because we have historically been Chinese or African or Indian, we must be a colonialist, oppressive, apartheid state. No, it's only happening in the West out of some perverse instinct that if we get to the heart of it, we would understand much about Western civilization. But right now, it is a totally suicidal instinct.
It is. And so I was having difficulty persuading somebody who was more in the middle over this, because they said, yeah, I don't like the woke stuff, but I don't understand why they're doing it. There must be a good reason. Can you just elaborate in about a minute here, Heather? This is suicide. This is, I don't want this to exist any longer.
And there is something about European civilization that is highly susceptible to blackmail. We are now being blackmailed. The reality is Black privilege, not white privilege. It used to be white privilege. I am not denying that. But for some reason, white civilization has decided to engage in the great replacement theory, and to go down without a fight. And I'm going to fight. You're going to fight,
yes,
Charlie. And this is worth protecting, because Western civilization has given the rest of the world the concepts of equality and tolerance that they are fighting in the name of, with complete hypocrisy, of course. But Western civilization has given us prosperity, freedom from sickness, illness, squalor. We have nothing to apologize for.
The opposite. We have a lot to be thankful for, actually. A lot that white Europeans did that made the world a better place. Common law, you know, presumption of innocence, separation of powers, you know, stuff that we just take for granted. Free speech, the idea that you can own property and pass down stuff to your kids, that you're not in a caste system. You can thank a white European for that. All right, I want to tell you about Herzog. Herzog Foundation is amazing. I want you guys to check it out right now. We've been talking about how our nation's public schools have been captured by progressive ideologues teaching things that directly contradict the values of millions of American families. For those of you worried about the best educational path for your kids and grandkids, I'm pleased to announce our new partnership with the folks at the Herzog Foundation. They are the trusted source of American K-12 private education with a remarkable suite of resources for parents and grandparents. From their online publication, The Lion, to the new podcast, Making the Leap, Herzog Foundation offers a wide range of advice and information for Christian parents. To learn more about how your family and faith and community can flourish through a quality Christian education, go to HerzogFoundation.com. That is HerzogFoundation.com. HerzogFoundation.com. H-E-R-Z-O-G. HerzogFoundation.com. So, Heather, I get asked this question, and I have somewhat of a response. I have one response. People say, what do we do? What do we do? What do we do? Because when are we going to stop putting up with this? My response is, don't allow the weaponization of the R word, racism, to matter. Take that off the table. What else can we do, Heather, to fight back and win here?
Well, first of all, you should be armed with the facts. You've got to be able to give the facts on the skills gap that are a far more persuasive explanation for the ongoing racial disparities. And that also regards to crime, because what the problem in the criminal justice system is not the underrepresentation of Blacks, but the overrepresentation. I say problem in scare quotes. That's a problem. I mean, in a broad sense, yes, it's a problem for the Black community, but it's not a problem for the legitimacy of our government system. The criminal justice system is simply responding to crime. So arm yourself with the data, both on the skills gap and on the crime overrepresentation of Blacks, because they're committing crime at exponentially higher rates. And then, you know, with your children or grandchildren, make sure that they know as well, and that they're not going to sit there and accept being sidelined. I mean, I recently wrote about a program in the Los Angeles Unified School District, the public school system in Los Angeles, that is a whole week of celebrating Blackness. And all the students in a classroom now are going to have to dress like their favorite Black person, or, you know, wear power to the black power t-shirts, and celebrate matriarchy and the breakdown of the heteronormative family. You know, that's a very weird thing for one group of students to be asked to celebrate another group of students simply on the basis of race. Well, when are we ever going to get around, as we were talking about before, Charlie, when are we ever going to get around to celebrating European culture?
Exactly.
It will never happen.
No, they despise it. And here's where I want to play around with for a second here, Heather. The African American, whatever, Smithsonian Museum, that was the most blunt I've ever seen from a major institution. They said showing up on time, speaking properly, using grammar, saving money are symptoms of white supremacy and whiteness. So do they use race politics as a means to destroy the Western civilization? And anything that is decent is good, they consider to be white supremacy. Is that a fair way to summarize it?
Yes, the mob can only tear down. What we have here on the part of the intersectional coalition is people who cannot compete, who hate success, who hate excellence, and they cannot create anything remotely comparable to what has been created by centuries, starting from ancient Greece forward. And so, but what they can do very well is tear things down, whether it's tearing down statues, names, whole civilizations, literature, philosophy, art, music, beauty. They can do a good job of that. And that's what's going on right now. It is nihilism. It is destruction. And we are sitting here in the shards of a civilization unless we start fighting back now. And that means, again, refusing to be scared when they call you a racist. Just keep on going, because ultimately, we will show them to be hollow tigers if we keep going and refuse to be cowed.
Well, and also I would play offense, and I think we need to do a better job of this in the public arena. Have them define what racism is. Like, what is that exactly? What do you mean by it? Do you mean noticing? Do you mean noticing that blacks commit a lot more crimes than whites? Is that racism? What do you mean by that? And then play offense against them and say, wait, what do you think of black-only dormitories? That's perfectly fine. But noticing that blacks are 13% of the population and they do 55% of the murders, that's somehow evil. What they're getting at is they've created the worst possible sin, which is thou shalt not commit racism, and they could obliterate your entire life.
Well, you know, Charlie, you've got the stats. We should not assume that people know this. I mean, the New York Times completely has a suppression censorship policy. Recently, there was a guy in Grand Central Terminal in New York who slashed two Danish teenage girls in the neck by saying that he hates white people. The New York Times has not written one story about this. People don't know what the disparities are. Arm yourself with the facts. Get them out there. Make sure your children know so that they're not brainwashed by their K-12 schools and college. And we will take this civilization back if we refuse to be cowed by the attempts at intimidation and terrorizing us.
Heather, you're excellent. And when they use racism, they're making a moral statement, and you have nothing to apologize for if you're noticing. Noticing is actually a good thing. It means you have courage. It means that you have pattern recognition. Heather, thank you so much. God bless you. Thank you.
Hello.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.